This is an Energy Sport podcast. Insightful, in-depth and entertaining sports content from Napier to you. This is the Fantasy Ramble, the best student-run FPL show in the country. Join our panel as they take you through the biggest fixtures from each Premier League game week, giving you their advice on how to succeed in your FPL mini-leagues. Expect in-depth discussion, wild takes and plenty of laughs right here on the Fantasy Ramble. Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble. My name is Jack Donnelly and you're listening to Energy Sports' flagship fantasy football show where we give you insight and tips ahead of the upcoming Premier League game week. As always, I am joined by some of Napier's finest FPL managers to discuss the upcoming set of Premier League fixtures. Firstly, we've got the weatherman himself, Struan Garvey. How are you, mate?
I'm not bad. Quite happy to be the weatherman because it is sunny right now.
Tremendous stuff, mate.
I'm glad to hear it. Nice and sunny down here as well,
I have to say. It's a Friday weather, you would say.
It's Friday, yeah. I think I made that point on the football roundup this week. It was nice on a Monday. You cannot waste good weather on a Monday. So thank goodness it's nice on a Friday.
I'm with you on that, to be honest. There's no point in having good weather on Monday. You can't do anything with it on most occasions. So good start to the weekend, we're hoping anyway. Finally, joining us, it's just a three-man show once again today. Called up at the last minute just so this show could happen. It's the saviour of today, Mr. Jamie McIntosh. How are you, mate?
Yes, very good. Having a nice, quiet afternoon. I've not actually been outside today. It's quite a nice day in the capital. But I've not been outside yet. I've had my online lecture and tutorial this morning and this afternoon. And I've sat and watched the darts pretty much all day on ITV. So, can't beat it. Brilliant Friday.
That's quite rare for you, not having been outside at this point in a weekday. You usually have taken Ben out a walk or something like that by this point.
Yeah. Dad took him out this morning. I'm going out tomorrow morning though with him, so Dad's lying tomorrow and I took the day off. So.
That's very fair in my eyes, to be honest. Yeah. Looking ahead into this batch of fixtures, lads, it's a minimal double game week once again because both Man City and Southampton have got two games apiece. But I think the early advice that I would definitely give is to start looking ahead to game week 29 because it's a blank game week with only four fixtures getting played and that's coming in 2 weeks' time. So it might be worth your time to maybe take a few points hits and get some players shuffled around just so you might not have a bit of a stinker. But if you've got your free hit chip still then you, by all means just go about your business as usual and drop that there. But if you're like the majority, have either of you got free hit left or a wild card? No, I think we've used most of ours, haven't we?
I've got nothing left.
I think I have free hit. I have free hit and bench boost.
You can only use the one at the one time, but Struan Garvey could. This again, it could be a redemption arc, mate. After slipping away from the competition, you're seventh just now, mate. Just in case you weren't aware, you're seventh.
I know.
Out of eight. In our personal league. I don't know how you've managed that, but that could be the point that Struan turns the season around, who knows?
I'm hoping to have the comeback story of the fantasy season in RB Mini League.
No one really had much of a comeback story last year, did they? It was just kind of...
I think I jumped you, right at the end, did I not?
It wasn't much of a comeback story, though. It was kind of just me falling away and you just doing well and picking up points.
I suppose.
But anyway, that's all still to be looked forward to. We're going to get the show on the road and we are going to come at you with our first segment, Premium Picks. And this is Premium Picks, where we look at, in our opinion, the three biggest and most interesting games of the Premier League game week that we are heading into. Starting, of course, with a game that used to be massive, but it's just kind of fallen away in recent seasons. But it's still a derby nonetheless, and Struan's excited for it for once. It's a Manchester derby playing out this Sunday at 4:30 at the Etihad. It was a 4-1 win for Manchester City at home to Wolves in the last fixture. Well, Man United didn't score at all in the double game week, but they also didn't concede. 2-0 most recently against Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park. Struan, this is first versus second in the Premier League, but it just doesn't feel like it at all.
No, it doesn't. You don't get the feeling that this is a title title six pointer, is it? This isn't a title deciding game, in all honesty. I don't think it has that feel to it at all. I mean, Man City are on 21 consecutive away games. I think 21 consecutive wins. Man United are on a 21 away unbeaten run. So one of those is going to come to an end, and that's probably the biggest story of this match coming up. But no, it doesn't have that. Doesn't have that feel to it at all, I don't think.
I know, Jamie. It just does seem to be a case of kind of City strolling the title, and United are on and off the pace like a broken treadmill at this point. So. I don't know how to feel coming into this one. There's not much excitement, especially just based on recent big six clashes. But more often than not, in kind of recent derbies, Solskjaer's had the luck of the draw a lot of the time, and he's managed to get a decent result out. So, do you reckon there's a chance of this happening this weekend?
Not this weekend, no. I've actually taken out my three Manchester United players from my team, put them on the bench. You know, I've had a few bad weeks, so I'm taking the gamble and kind of benching Fernandes and co, and hoping that it's a comfortable City victory. Obviously, it's a City double game week, so I would recommend. You know, I've got my three Manchester City players in. As for the game itself, City are just, I think, in a league of their own, to be honest. As much as I would kind of like to say that. We maybe see a half decent game with a few goals. I do think City will win this one, by a couple of goals to nil. To be honest, as you say, United coming into the game on the back of, well, it's actually 3-0 in all competitions, so 3 games without a goal, and I could actually see it being 4. So, yeah, a comfortable Manchester City win, to be honest, 2-0 for me.
It's true, and you'll kind of have a better idea how United might be coming into this game, but they've got a tough batch of fixtures coming up. I mean, they've got this game, then they've got their home leg against AC Milan in the Europa League this coming Thursday. They've got West Ham at home on the Saturday, I believe, or maybe it's a Sunday, and then they're playing AC Milan again, the away leg, the following Thursday. So they're not really getting much time off in terms of important fixtures. So what do you reckon their mindset's going to be coming into this one? Could we see them almost kind of be more reluctant to narrow the gap and put out a full-strength team with AC Milan coming up? Do you think they could end up prioritising the Europa League more than anything else?
One of the comments that's been made is that Man United are constantly, and this is coming from all the players and the coach, that they're not looking down at the table. They're always looking above them at Manchester City, and their focus is on this. But by doing that, I think Gary Neville made the point that they're sleepwalking into a top four race, and I think that's completely true at the moment. I think they need to take whatever kind of points they can at the moment. The title is not in the question, I think. And for that reason, I wouldn't be surprised if they do go out for another draw. I mean, we'll complain about nil-nils, but I'd snap your hand off right now for one at the weekend for United here. I think the Europa League as well, they've got a massive opportunity to do well in that competition. I think it'll have to be a priority, especially when Man United are playing they've played two games every week since the start of the season at this point, and you can just see the fatigue setting in on certain players. And if you are going to commit to these competitions, you've got to win them. You know, you can't just almost waste game weeks in the Europa League just to go out, especially with Ibrahimovic who's going to be missing as well in the first leg. United need to capitalise on that. But it's just hard to see what they will prioritise, because obviously it is a derby, and I think they really need a response for the fans. I think once again, you know, it happens every 2 or 3 months now that the doubters are starting to come back in Solskjaer, and there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders and everything like that's coming out. In my opinion, I think he has to get top four this season, and he needs results coming up, because obviously West Ham are there and Manchester City are right at the top of the table, and the teams down around them are also slowly gaining points. So I honestly think he'll prioritise both competitions, and in a way I think it could backfire quite badly this week.
So you might see a fairly open scoreline potentially in one of the two games coming up.
I think so. I think Man City will win regardless at the weekend. I think they've just got too much quality at the moment. I think United don't have enough. They just look tired. If you can't beat Crystal Palace, I don't know what hope you've got against Man City. And I do think they'll have an eye on the... Even though they won't admit it because it's the derby and blah, 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 I think they'll definitely be thinking more about the Europa League game. They just seem to be more up for these sort of games as the season's gone on.
Well, with that in mind, what do we reckon from City? Because Jamie's already said that he's chucked his Manchester United boys to the bench for this one. I think I might be inclined to do that, at least for Wan-Bissaka this week. Who from City do we bring in? Obviously, they've got two games to think about. So, again, Pep Roulette and just see who sticks, really. So, again, the only safe choice seems to be Ederson in playing both games. But does he keep two clean sheets? That's the main question.
Yeah, you're right. I think he does. I've already got him in. As I've already said, I do think that this will be a kind of 1 or 2 nil. And to be honest with you, I can kind of see that for the game against Southampton as well, in Manchester City's second game of the game week. So I think two clean sheets. And, you know, I do think he'll rotate. And I think Fantasy Premier League actually tweeted during the week that apart from Ederson, I think Mahrez was the player that had played the most minutes this season, certainly in the last 7 or 8 game weeks or something, had played the most minutes apart from Ederson. Obviously, for an outfield player, it's a bit different to a goalkeeper. But Marius could be an interesting shout because you automatically kind of think of Gundogan or obviously De Bruyne before he kind of got injured. But yeah, Marius apparently played a lot of minutes under Guardiola recently, so he seems to be working his way into that team. Obviously, Ferran Torres kind of did and then sort of fell out again. Yeah, so Marius could be a good shout. But I've got Ederson, Cancelo and Gundogan. But to be honest with you, I'm really not sure I would recommend bringing anybody in, just because, as you say, I do think it's hard to tell who he's gonna play and who he's gonna drop. Obviously, you've got the Champions League as well, coming up as well. I don't know when that is for City. A couple of weeks, maybe still, but
a week on Tuesday or Wednesday, it'll be.
It is still a wee while away, I think, for them. So yeah, you know, Cancelo, Gundogan, and Ederson for me. I do think Gundogan will play both games, but you know, Cancelo, Zinchenko, Walker, you know, all kind of. I could see Cancelo maybe not starting the Southampton game.
Struan, what about someone like Phil Foden? Because obviously he saw a fair bit of game time towards the start of the year rather than the start of the season. But now De Bruyne is kind of back fully fit. Are we expecting to see as much of a presence from Foden, who by and large deserves a kind of consistent run in the team?
Yeah, I think Foden's deserved it, to be honest. For nothing else, his performance in the big games, I think he's been vital for Man City this season so far. And I think his versatility to be able to play either in that front line or the midfield three definitely does deserve the credit. You know, Pep does like to rule it, and City have got that depth to not really need to suffer from fatigue, really. You know, they can constantly rotate. So I would definitely expect Foden to play a part in both of these games, whether it's as a sub or start. You know, I think he'll start Southampton, possibly come off the bench against Man United.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking for advice at this point, because I might consider trying to get rid of him this week if he's not likely to play, because he's not really done much since I brought him in a couple of weeks ago.
Who was that, sorry? Foden?
Yeah, Foden.
Yeah. He's quite cheap, though. I think that's the thing.
Aye, 6 mil.
I mean, I do think that City players, they are just a lottery, to be fair, trying to figure it out. Yeah. I do think there's only a few, as we've already discussed, that kind of have an 80% plus chance of starting. He does rotate a lot, and the fact that they've had kind of back-to-back double game weeks, got the Champions League as well, they are playing a lot of games, and, you know, managers are rotating. You know, it happened to me at Chelsea the other week there with Mr. Werner.
Oh, yes.
Obviously had a very good game at Anfield last night, but obviously didn't start at the weekend, and I thought that he would have made a big difference at the weekend, but clearly, obviously rotating, because, you know, these big teams in the league are playing a lot of games with European football as well.
Right, let's get on to some score predictions then. I'll kick off. I'll say 2-0 to City. I'm fairly confident in that, I think. As we said, United, Struan kind of put a perfectly sleepwalking towards a top four race at this point. And City have held firm more times than we care to admit on this show in recent weeks. So, fairly simple 2-0. I think key player for me is different to what a key fantasy player would be. I think key player in the match would be someone like Rodri, should he start, because I feel like he'd do a really good job of breaking up anything that Manchester United are going to put forward, and I could see him potentially even being tasked to man-mark someone like Bruno Fernandes and just trying to keep him quiet throughout the entire game. But fantasy player, I'll stick with Cancelo or Ederson, just because I've got them both. And I'm half tempted to give one of them the captain's armband, just because I do agree, Jamie. I think there could be a chance of two clean sheets for City in the next week. So I think it might be a fairly safe shout, but is anything a safe shout in fantasy football? Probably not. How about yourself, Struan? How do you see this panning out? I mean, I'd imagine it's not going to be the most positive for your own interests, but we'll hear it anyway.
I think everyone will allow me to be positive. Negative. I could be positively negative. It's going to be a Man City win. I'm going to go for a 3-0 Man City win. And I'm going to captain Ruben Diaz because I fancy City to keep two clean sheets. I was going to captain Ederson. I'm going to lean more on Diaz. And I think he'll get a goal because Man United are quite poor from set pieces. And I think he'll keep a clean sheet as well. So he's going to be my captain in the double game week for City.
There we go. Jamie McIntosh, how about yourself?
Yeah, 2-0 for me as well. As for kind of a key player, I think for this game, Cancelo. But for fantasy, as I say, I do think he may be rested for the Southampton game. So maybe as for the kind of double game week as a whole, maybe somebody like Gundogan as well. But I do agree with you on your kind of Rodri shout. I do think that there are players in Man City's team which influence the team, but they kind of don't get the fantasy points, obviously, for obvious reasons. Guys like Rodri, in particular, very influential in the middle of the park. But Gundogan or Cancelo for me, and two clean sheets.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's move on to the second of our premium picks for this week, which is going to be Chelsea versus Everton, playing out Monday night, 6 p.m. at Stamford Bridge. It was a 1-0 win for both teams in their last outing, Chelsea going away and making it Liverpool's fifth loss in a row at Anfield, Mason Mount scoring the only goal of the game. Well, Richarlison scored again as Everton beat West Brom away at the Hawthorns. Now, this is an interesting game because these are two teams that are very much in the hunt for top four places. Everton sit 1 point behind Chelsea with a game in hand. So Chelsea could really stand to win this game and just put that bit of distance, bit of safety between themselves and Everton, even if it is extending that to just 4 points. Jamie, we kind of spoke about it before we started. Chelsea are just looking a lot more pulled together at the moment than they were under Frank Lampard. And we've seen players like Andreas Christensen in the back line reintroduced and thriving in this back three.
Yeah, I think there's a few players really that have kind of come back in. Obviously, that you know, you mentioned Christensen for me. I think the main one is Marcus Alonso. I know he didn't start last night, but obviously Frank Lampard had completely frozen him out, went out, spent money on Ben Chilwell, and you know, he's having to work hard now to try and get himself a kind of, you know, nailed down starting place, because Alonso's come back in and he's done all right. The whole Chelsea defence has done all right, you know. I thought they were a better team against Manchester United, and I thought they absolutely dominated Liverpool, especially for the first kind of hour or so of the game. That Southampton, you know, obviously a very good result in the Champions League. Comfortable wins against Newcastle. What else? That Southampton game as well. Comfortably should have won that. I know we didn't, but we played well that game. And, you know, it was an interesting one. Chelsea obviously received a lot of criticism for sacking Frank Lampard. And maybe you could look at the players now, that the fact that they are playing well. You know, we sort of did touch on it at the time, that if Chelsea suddenly started to play better, then maybe the players would need to justify or maybe have a look at themselves and maybe question if they did try their best for Frank Lampard. I don't know. We don't know. But the form has certainly picked up. And whether you put that solely down to the difference in managerial ability of Thomas Tuchel and Frank Lampard is completely up to you. But Chelsea are certainly looking a very good team just now. And I would fancy them to get the better of a decent-looking Everton team, actually, to be fair. But again, they have their off days. And I think it was under Lampard anyway, where Chelsea actually picked Everton apart at Stamford Bridge last season. I think it was last season, wasn't it?
It was just before the pandemic struck and football was cancelled, the 4-0.
It was about a year ago now then. And yeah, absolutely. Tore Everton apart that day. So I'm not saying it'll be a same kind of result as that, but I do think Chelsea will come out on top. And Mr. Werner will once again deliver.
I see him being quite influential in this game again. I think it's really nice to see just now, because I feel like Werner, obviously, his struggles in front of goal have been exceedingly well documented. But now people are starting to pick up on the fact that he still is influential in the team. His speed and his runs in behind genuinely cause problems every single game. And whether he gets the final touch or the final ball across or not, it's that's been wanting, but he's still he's kind of forging chances out of nothing because he's been able to just sprint at back lanes and make them scramble back to try and catch him, and then hopefully somebody gets in on the end of a cross, or he gets filled for a penalty, which has kind of been his primary source of assists at this point in the season. Struan, this is an Everton team that, Jamie said, they're good and they do have good days, and we've seen the quality that they have of players like Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison, Luca Dean, but I think they're still struggling back with a few injuries. I'm not certain James is going to be fit for this game. Yerry Mina's still out, of course, and I think someone like Tom Davies, potentially, he's kind of played a bit more this season and is sidelined. So how do we see Everton kind of attack in this game, if they do at all, or do you think it's going to be a fairly... I mean, you can't really say one-sided affair because there's not an awful lot of scoring at the moment from Chelsea, but you kind of get what I mean in terms of that, I suppose.
I think Everton will go for this. They've had quite good results against the top teams this season. They beat Chelsea away, early in the season. They beat Liverpool recently. That was massive for them. Tottenham in the Cup, you know, they made the comeback against Man United, beat Arsenal as well this season. So I think they are a bit more confident coming into these games against the top teams. I think with Ancelotti there and the players now, they do have the ability to take it to these teams rather than just sort of sitting back. You know, when you have lots of creative players now sort of in and around the team like Digne and Sigurdsson, there's always options, and Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison are scoring a lot. But I mean, we've seen a lot with Tuchel that Chelsea now dominate the ball for majority of the game, yeah, regardless of who they're against now. So I think that will lead to a much more defensive approach from Everton, and I wouldn't be surprised if it is more of a very, not scared approach, but a very more safe approach from Everton in this one, especially because they know that if they can get a goal like they did last time, maybe nick a penalty or nick something from a set piece, they can defend it. Because they beat West Brom recently, and I wasn't too impressed with them. I thought they gave the ball away quite a lot, and I thought West Brom probably were deserved of an equaliser at the end. Mm-hmm. But I think they'll definitely need to show up at the back.
That's what I'm thinking as well, because, I mean, I don't think grinding out a result against West Brom is kind of representative of what this team is. I mean, I suppose it's Carlo Ancelotti football, because when he was at Chelsea, I think the early stages, he would tend to just go for one goal victories, and he's been successful in doing so on a number of occasions this season against Chelsea in the 1-0 back at Goodison Park in December. So I can see him trying to kind of play a bit more conservatively again, but they definitely do have the talent in their forward line to be able to hurt Chelsea should they deem it acceptable. I always see this as kind of like inconsistent history, Jamie, because any time Chelsea and Everton kind of play, there's never really a clear winner across the season, because they kind of seem to trade wins, in the sense that whoever loses the first fixture wins the reverse one later in the season, and it's been the case for a few seasons now. So by logic and by recent history, that would side with Chelsea to get the win in this one, but I don't know if that's kind of the way you're thinking, or you're just kind of completely convinced that Chelsea are going to be able to shut up shop quite convincingly, keep the ball, and then just force through a goal at some point in the match.
Yeah, I think Everton will play on the counter. I said that this Chelsea defence has been very good recently, but I do think they will concede in this game. I've put it down as 2-1 Chelsea. As I say, I think Chelsea will dominate the ball. They'll probably get themselves in front, and then Everton maybe might come out of their shell a bit and kind of nick a goal. Whether it's, I do think Chelsea will score first though, and maybe be a 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, and maybe hang on towards the end, but show the kind of improved defensive side of the team at the end, maybe, and grind out a 2-1 win for me. Werner to score as well.
That, and he'd be a key man as well then.
He's my key man, yeah.
There we go. Well, Struan, I'll ask you for yours then, since we just had Jamie's score prediction. So what are you thinking for this game?
I'm thinking a 2-0 Chelsea, I think, for this one. I think it'll be too much for Everton. I'm still not convinced by Everton's defence at all, nor their goalkeeper, and I think Chelsea just have too much. And my transfer this week was bringing in Mason Mount, as he is getting better and better as the season goes on at the moment. He's quite cheap as well for what he is. I think at the moment he's probably the first name in that sort of three that Tuchel plays.
I think he's got to be, regardless.
Sort of the two in behind in the striker. I think he's probably the first name in amongst that three there, so I'm going to go with him as the man of the match. I've also got Reece James, and of course, the main man up top, the German himself, the lethal number 11, Timo Werner.
You really built him up.
He was denied a goal at the weekend by... Oh, what?
It wasn't the weekend, it was last night.
Last night even, yeah. It was ridiculous.
I don't see how he could have been... I'm not going to get into the rant about this, but that's a goal. That is a goal. I'm sorry.
Do you know what the worst thing is, though? That wasn't even the worst decision that was made last night in terms of VAR decisions, but do you know how...
Oh, do you mean the Kante thing?
No, I was meaning the handball in the Fulham game.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what? See when that Kante handball happened, see in the back of it, this is the wrong thing to think, but I just thought, yeah, even if that is a penalty, they shouldn't get it because that one was ruled off earlier outside. I was like, that evens it out. But do you know how you always have the expression, you give the benefit of the doubt to the attacker? You know, before VAR, if you think they're offside, you give it to the attacker. Surely, with those sort of margins, we shouldn't go on about VAR. 2-0 Chelsea.
We could be here all day debating it, honestly. I completely agree. I think 2-0 Chelsea is a decent scoreline to shout for. I think it's going to be a kind of tale of the defence is kind of holding the firm, because I feel like Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison will test a number of times in this match. And I feel like it's going to be the likes of Rudiger and Christensen, provided both play. I'm potentially see the return of Thiago Silva. I know he's been back in training, and he was back in training ahead of Liverpool. So I'm not sure whether he will be deemed fit enough to get back in the team or anything like that. I mean, I'd imagine he will replace one of the three, considering Tuchel used him for however many years he was at PSG and he was a captain. So I'm going to be really happy to see Silva back in the side when he does reappear. And I'd imagine, based on form, he'd probably replace Rudiger, because I think Christensen, he won man of the match last night. So I think he's probably been head and shoulders above Rudiger in that sense. And Azpilicueta has worked fantastically.
That auxiliary
right centre-back, right-back, whatever he chooses to be in the moment. 2-0 and Werner to score. I'll happily back that. He should have had a goal last night, and maybe it's going to be the other Merseyside club that he gets a goal against, who knows. Finally, in Premium Picks, we are going to discuss two club, I don't want to call them provincial clubs because they're not really, they're massive, but in terms of the league, I suppose you could say that. West Ham versus Leeds, Monday night's later kickoff, 8 p.m. at the London Stadium. Both teams only had one game to play in the double game week, and they lost it. 2-1 away loss at Man City for West Ham, and a 1-0 home loss against Villa for Leeds. How do we think this one's going to play out? Because I think this could be a really, really interesting game in terms of how both teams set up. Because for me, West Ham are the physically superior team. I feel like players like Antonio and Suchek are going to have absolutely wonders against a very frail and often tested Leeds backline. But then Leeds have the speed on the counter-attack through Bamford, Rafinha and Jack Harrison, and probably have more ability of stringing together nice moves and nice passing moves to be able to get them further up the field. But, Struan, what do you reckon? Is it going to be a fairly contrasting pair of teams, or do you think they're going to kind of settle into something quite similar to one another on the day?
I think this is probably the game I'm looking forward to the most, just in the sense that there's no clear and obvious winner. There's no one team that has to defend for the lead. I think it could be one of those ones where Leeds will probably dominate a lot of the ball. You know, West Ham will keep nicking goals here and there, and Leeds will just go all out at them. And I think it'll just be good. I really do. I think obviously West Ham have got a real chance of getting into the top four. Mm-hmm. But they keep up their form consistently. They're a massive side in terms of height. Whenever you see them at set pieces, both offensively and defensively, they're just so threatening, and Leeds are just so bad defensively in general. So I think this could be a high score. I don't want to jinx it, but I think this could be a high scoring game, and I think it'll be entertaining because, again, it's one of those where neither of them have anything to lose. You know, Leeds are not going to get relegated. West Ham are not expected to get top four. They have a good chance, but I don't think they're expected. So if they do lose at the end of the day, nobody's going to say, oh, they've bottled it. But I think this is going to be a real chance for both teams to just go out and express themselves and just, you know, show the Premier League that there's really good teams out there, regardless of whether they're considered big six or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually, Struan's just made towards the end there about kind of, I hope both these teams, we know, we've seen this season what they are capable of, and I just kind of hope that they kind of just go out and just both try and play their own game. You know, you spoke about kind of leads on the counter-attack, and I hope West Ham don't kind of change system or that to try and prevent Leeds. You know, that the one game that springs to mind was that West Ham Liverpool game at the London Stadium, and I did think Liverpool were good, but I thought West Ham were quite poor that night. Mm-hmm. It was a Sunday night game, I think, that night. So I just kind of hope they maybe just do their own thing, and because you know the thing was, I thought they could have taken something off Liverpool that day, but they just didn't really turn up. And I do agree that I think this will be a good game. And I do think there'll be goals as well. I've put it down for a 2-2. Leeds are a wee bit vulnerable defensively. We know that. And I think somebody like Thomas Suchek could be a really good pick for this game. Mm-hmm. I do think Antonio as well. I think he could have a field day with those centre-backs, to be honest. But I think Suchek could get a goal from a set piece quite easily. I do think Leeds are, they're just a bit vulnerable from kind of balls into the box, really. Mm-hmm. And I do think that West Ham's kind of style with kind of Antonio, you know, a bit of a bruiser up front, very effective at what he does. I just don't think that's the centre back. That's the striker that Leeds centre backs want to come up against, and I think West Ham could have a bit of a field day going forward. But you know, we know that Leeds are quite good going forward as well. So yeah, 2-2 for me, and a very exciting game, probably my game of the week.
I think exciting is the right word, because you just kind of look at this game and kind of the way it's going to pan out. And the way it's kind of set up to pan out, I suppose, rather than. But yeah, no, I do see goals myself. I think I had it down for 2-1 to West Ham, because I feel like West Ham could probably just kind of exhaust Leeds, in the sense that they'd just be able to out-muscle them at just about everything. Because you look at them kind of comparatively in terms of, Struan, you mentioned it perfectly, just the height of West Ham in comparison to what Leeds are. You've got Jack Harrison, who's about 5'6", 5'7", Rafinha's about 5'8", like, even the kind of more solid players like Calvin Phillips, who I don't even think is going to be playing, I don't know if he's past 6 foot. And half of the West Ham team's 6 foot plus. So I think just physical advantage could potentially rule the day. But that's not to take away from the side at West Ham, because they've proved throughout the season they have good football inside. They've got really good technical players in the likes that are Benrahma and Jared Bowen, and Jesse Lingard's kind of had his own kind of rejuvenation period at the club, so they definitely do have enough in terms of keeping the ball on the ground and moving it around to cause Leeds problems, as well as having the physical advantage. So I think I'll stick to my 2-1, and I'll give Antonio the nod for key player. I transferred him out for the double game week because he only had one game, and I might be looking to bring him back in ahead of a couple of weeks' time, where I think he is one of a player in one of 8 teams that are going to be playing in that blank game week in a couple of weeks' time. So it might be a transfer for now and for the future. Struan, wrap us up with a score prediction here.
3-0. That's it.
Like that.
I'll go for it. And I'm sort of choosing between the two strikers who are probably the best two strikers of fantasy this season in terms of both value and how they've produced in Bamford and Antonio.
Absolutely.
And I think I'm going to lead towards Antonio, because I really like Antonio. So he's going to be my man of the match, 3-0. But do you know what? I think even though I'm saying 3-0, I feel like Meslier is going to make so many saves in this game. I think it's just going to be one of those end-to-end games. And I think I do agree with the point that Jamie said there, that, you know, Moyes has been criticised quite a bit for changing his tactics in certain games. And I really hope that they don't do that. I really hope that they take the game to Leeds, because Leeds are just such a good team to get at. Because if you go at them, they'll come back at you and you can just keep getting it. It's just a good game to watch.
No, definitely. Completely agree. That is going to wrap up our premium picks segment. There's plenty of entertainment this week, as always. So we're going to take a look at 3 more games in this week's wildcard options. And we're here with wildcard options, which is the segment that we look at 3 other games that we still wanted to mention, but didn't want to go as in-depth with as we did with the premium picks. Starting off with probably the Brexit game of the week, if we're bringing that back. I feel like we need to be more consistent with that, if I'm honest, lads, because that comes and goes.
There's always one.
There's always one, but we just never, sometimes we just completely forget to address it. But we're not forgetting this week, are we? This is the Brexit game of the week. West Brom versus Newcastle. Big Sam versus Steve Bruce.
Yeah, this is too good to miss. You say that we've been inconsistent with the Brexit game of the week. Some of them are definitely more Brexit than others, and this one is a contender for Brexit game of the season, if you ask me. This is an absolute
top tier Brexiting.
Box office Brexit.
The box office breakfast.
Oh, that might be the title.
Your title.
That might be the title.
Then again, if Brexit's involved in the title, will people want to click on it more or less?
So, certain types of people, maybe.
Yeah, potentially.
They'll want to leave it alone.
Ah, very good. Mm. Very good.
Mm, see what EU did there.
That was good.
No, I like that. That was good.
I could tell Struan sitting with a massive smile on his face in his room just.
The Nashers are showing.
Oh, tremendous. Right, aye. So, West Brom, Newcastle. Big relegation scrap this. If West Brom get a result, Newcastle are in big trouble. Do we think West Brom get a result here?
Possibly.
I think it's highly possible, to be honest.
Bookies' favourites.
Are they Bookies' favourites?
Bookies' favourites. I find that bizarre, to be honest.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, I think there's now been more away wins in the Premier League than home wins this season. So you can't put it down to home advantage, because there isn't one.
There's not really a thing of that anymore, is there? No
West
fans.
Brom have kind of picked up a wee bit.
A little bit. They've been better.
A bit unlucky against Everton, you could say. And then, obviously, I suppose they were so lucky against Brighton, though. You know, that's the only win recently.
Yeah.
And, they were so lucky. Newcastle, not really much better, though. That's the thing.
No, I mean...
I think with Newcastle, with no Almiron, with no Callum Wilson and no St. Maximin, is there a goal threat in that team other than an own goal from West Brom? Like, is there...
Fabian Schär was scoring like braces at some point last season from centre back
as well. Actually,
I think you're right. I think he is. That out the window.
Matt Ritchie won't be playing if the bust up with Steve Bruce is true, which is another creative and goal scoring threat taken out as well. So I mean, no offense to Joel Linton, but
it's not looking good for them, is it?
With a back, well, it's more of a back four. I wouldn't be surprised if Allardyce sticks Ivanovic in for this game just to deal with the aerial presence of the likes of Carroll and Joel Linton, because I don't really think either of them are going to be bursting in behind, well, Carroll especially not. And I think a bit more experience, what is he, like 37, 38 now? Ivanovic is a bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would fancy West Brom for this one. They were very lucky to beat Brighton, quite unlucky not to get an equaliser against Everton, so... Wouldn't be surprised. I've been really impressed with that Diangana.
Yeah,
scored against United. Probably should have had one at Everton. And the Chelsea loanee Conor Gallagher. I was saying that in the group chat last night. Actually, he looks quite good for them, as well as Mateus Pereira. So I think go offensively anyway. I think they have more creativity and threat in coming into this one.
The new striker's coming and done all right as well. Actually, Diagne. Obviously, I wasn't sure that was who you were trying to say, or if you meant Diangana.
Yeah, blue hair.
the new striker, right, yeah.
Yeah, there's Diangana, who was signed from West Ham.
The West Ham boy, yeah.
And then Diagne.
Diagne.
The new guy.
The new one.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's come in and done all right. But obviously, I think, as we know, the defence is kind of the problem for West Brom, so it should be a low-scoring game. I wouldn't be backing goals in this one.
Brexit style 0-0?
No, 1-0. 1-0. 1-0 baggies for me and Diagne to score.
There we go. Second in the wildcard options, we've got Villa versus Wolves of Black County Derby. But, Struan, Wolves have been all right recently. Nuno was unbeaten
by their standards.
Always rated them. What a team.
What do we reckon? Because Villa have the... kind of capability to go on and off, and it was a fairly innocuous win against Leeds in the double game week. I don't know, to be honest. I could see this one being a fairly low scoring draw, a 1-1 or something like that. I don't know about you.
I was just going to say, I watched Villa the other night actually against Sheffield United, and they were pretty bad. Like, without Grealish, they are pretty bad, it has to be said. It was weird. It was a typical Sheffield United performance. Obviously, they went down to 10 men and just kind of got everybody behind the ball, threw bodies on the line. But Villa were awful. Like, usually you look at the fullbacks at Aston Villa. Matt Target's had so many assists so far this season. And, you know, they were getting the ball wide to him and he was putting balls in the box. But they were terrible crosses, which, you know, is not... not something you can say too often in Matt Target, especially. So I don't know if it was just an off day, but I agree that I don't see this one being full of goals. I've put it down for a 1-0 to Aston Villa. I've still got Watkins in my team, mainly because I think they've got a game on game week 29, as you kind of mentioned at the start of the show. So I think you'd kind of be daft to take players out that are playing on game week 29. So 1-0 to Villa for me, and Ollie Watkins to score, but not a classic by any means.
No, not in the slightest. Stu, and you're probably going to predict a 4-0 to Aston Villa or something like that, aren't you?
At least 7.
At least 7. No, okay, my mistake.
I think this is going to be a 0-0. I think it could be a fairly boring game. I think Aston Villa do desperately lack Jack Grealish. And then I think even though Wolves were able to get a goal against Man City, I think Wolves from a season or two seasons ago can hold that out. But then they went and conceded another 3 from there. So I just don't see too much from this game, to be honest. I'd hope it would be an entertaining one, because it's sort of two decent teams going at it, but I'm very scared it's going to be a 0-0. And I do have Ollie Watkins in my team right now, and I'm tempted to take a points hit to bring in Mikel Antonio for him.
Big shout. I don't hate it. Taking a points hit just so you're ready for your comeback, and even more.
Timo Werner is going to count me.
You've said that since, the third week?
Do you know what? See if I have a somewhat comeback. I'll buy a Timo Werner shirt. I'll get a German one, so it's not Chelsea. But I'll respect the man if he can do it for me.
All right. So what?
You could just get a United shirt and put Werner on the back. It'd look a bit weird, but people might just think your name was Werner.
I could just get the Greenwood top and take off Greenwood, so it's just the 11. And then some people might think, oh, that's a Legends kit. He's got that for Ryan Giggs. Whereas in reality, it's Timo Werner.
I could just imagine
the,
you just
the sitting, reality is very different.
You're sitting peeling off the letters to Greenwood on the back of that shirt when it comes in the post. Right, well, that's on. So what would he have to do? What would he have to do to make you commit to buying a Timo Werner shirt?
What position am I in currently? So as of right now in our personal league, I'm in 7th. If I can get up to 4th, so if I can make top 4, the same way Chelsea are trying to make top 4. Knocked over my glass there. The same way Chelsea are trying to make top 4. If I go into the top 4, I'll buy a Timo Werner shirt.
Okay.
A German Timo Werner shirt. There we go.
There we go.
Just in time for the Euros. There we go. Pow.
Yeah, so you would buy another European kit ahead of the first European championships that Scotland are competing in our lifetime.
I meant it in the sense that there'll probably be a German top coming out, and then I realised, oh no.
Goodness sake. Well, Stuart just put himself in the mud with everyone in Scotland there. That's good. Let's move on to the final of our wildcard options. We've got Brighton taking on Leicester. Jamie, we've been saying for a while that Brighton potentially deserve to get relegated purely for the fact that they're not matching the output that they are producing at all in terms of goals and results. But Leicester are stuttering just now. They are kind of slowly being ground to a halt with their injuries really taking a toll to 4 or 5 of their key players. So could this potentially be what could be considered an upset and get a Brighton win on the cards?
No, it's actually a 0-0 for me.
Fair.
I don't see goals in this. We've touched on Leicester's quality, players kind of missing, and Brighton can't score. So all points to a 0-0 for me. Another low-scoring game on my card, and not one I would really be rushing to watch, to be honest. But potentially a valuable point for Brighton coming into the season.
Yeah, could be massive in terms of their kind of end season. Struan, how about you? How do you see it going?
I think a 0-0 as well. Maybe Leicester do nick one in this one. I think they lack creativity badly, but then at the same time, Brighton just can't score. They just cannot score. So yeah, I'll go with a 0-0 as well. Man of the match, Kasper Schmeichel, who was fantastic against Burnley. Oh my.
There we go. You've convinced me. You've convinced me I'll stick a 0-0 on because we're all boring. There we go. That's kind of that wrapped up nicely. And nicely, we come on to the end of our wildcard options. So that covers all the individual games we're planning on talking about today. And as always, we are going to close out the show with our Locked In 11. So let's round out this episode of the Fantasy Ramble with our Locked In 11 for this week. This is where we look at players from games we've mentioned, games we've not, all to put together the best 11 for the maximum amount of fantasy points this weekend. As always, we start with goalkeepers and defenders, since they both benefit the most from clean sheet points. So who's keeping a clean sheet this weekend, lads? I couldn't see Liverpool keeping a clean sheet. I was going to say they're playing Fulham, but Fulham are good. So...
Ederson.
Yes, Ederson in goal. I think that's
Diaz.
City clean sheet then. Yeah, I could see it. Or at least one.
The Stones least is one probably a shout as well. I think he'll play at least one of the games.
Stones and Diaz as centre-backs probably. Cancelo at right-back. You would think.
Reece James.
I put it down for a 2-1, so I do think Everton might score in that. I've got Aaron Cresswell. It's not something I think they'll keep a clean sheet, but I do think he could, said earlier, that Suchek from a set piece, I think Cresswell could stick one on the head of Thomas Suchek, to be honest.
I've got Mings in my team.
I've got Target, actually.
Well, I could see them keep a clean sheet against Wolves, to be honest.
Could be a 0-0. Could be a 0-0. I've also got Rob Holding, actually. He sat on the bench for a while.
That's an interesting pick.
He's been on the bench for ages. They got Burnley away. Not a team that's in blessed
form. Not the best in the air.
No.
But, I've got a striker on the bench in Josh Maja, so whether Holding goes back to the bench where he's been for a while or whether he gets a chance, see if he can seize his opportunity.
You are one of 4.1% of players to own Rob Holding.
Oh, that's interesting. He's nice and cheap.
4.4 million, yeah.
Brought him in quite a while ago, to be honest, and Arsenal had a favourable run of fixtures. And he did all right for me, actually. He's a good squad player to have, I think, for home games, maybe when Arsenal are at home. But I do think that this is another low-scoring game, actually, maybe a 1 or 2-0 for the Gooners. So maybe an Arsenal defender. KT's a bit expensive for me as well.
5.2, yeah.
Opted for the centre-half.
I probably a safer shout, to be honest. I mean, probably wouldn't have as many attacking opportunities, but for the price and the clean sheet, aye, probably safer bet and spend your money elsewhere. So I don't see a lot of clean sheets this weekend, to be honest. It's a bit of a tough one for defenders, but
Spurs could keep a clean sheet, maybe. I think Zaha
against Palace, yeah, good shout.
I would still fancy them. Palace are pretty brutal.
How much are Spurs defenders, though? They're probably going to be a fair...
Quite steep, eh?
Probably going to be a fair whack for a Spurs defender.
Possibly Reguilon's maybe the one to go for. He's like their most offensive defender.
He's 5.5 million, so he's more expensive than Kieran Tierney.
Don't think he played against Fulham, though. Don't know if he was injured or if he just got
dropped. No, he did not.
Didn't play against Fulham, and they get the clean sheet, so maybe stay on the bench, I don't know.
I mean, I think he came back from injury against Burnley and got 10 points. So could potentially be worth a look in, especially with that kind of blank game week game coming up. And if I'm right in saying Spurs, they're playing Villa, so maybe not a clean sheet in that, but oh well. Right, up into midfield. Who are we back in the midfield this week? Someone
Gundogan.
From City, yeah.
Gundogan, Suchek, Son and Aubameyang is my midfield four.
My midfield four, as it stands just now, is Fernandes, Mount, Foden and Suchek, but that'll probably change. And I've got... I need to get Harvey Barnes at my team. Oh, Jesus. Poor guy.
I've still got Salah, which is maybe a risk. I was very surprised to see him coming off 60 minutes, probably.
Yeah, of the three to bring off, of the front three, I didn't expect him to bring off Salah.
Bit ridiculous. I've also got Heung-Min Son. I've got Bukayo Saka. I think he's such a good pickup at the moment. He's still only 5.2 million. And he's probably Arsenal's best attacker, just in general at the moment, and midfielder. And my transfer this week, as I previously mentioned, is Mason Mount. I think I'm probably going to keep him on my team for the rest of the season now. And I've also got Emile Smith-Rowe on the bench, who has only got a 75% chance of playing, but he is quite good for Arsenal as well when he's played. And I feel against Burnley, they'll probably want as many creative players as they can fit on the pitch.
You've been backing the Arsenal youngsters for a while now, to be honest.
I think they're Arsenal's best players. It's like class of 2020 sort of situation for them at the moment. But I just think Bukayo Saka is just such a good pickup. For 5.2 million, I really don't think you can go wrong with that because he provides goals and assists. And he's not guaranteed to start, but I would say 80% chance he plays every Premier League game at the moment.
Aye, fair. And then your point about Mason Mount, I think, barring a serious injury, he plays the rest of the season. I can't see him dropping at that team anytime soon. We'll finish up with strikers. So who are we predicting to get a goal this weekend, other than Timo Werner?
I think Bamford and Antonio, who are playing against each other, are good chance.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've got Watkins. To be honest, I want to get rid of Watkins, but they're playing on the game week 29, as you've just alluded to, Jack, against Tottenham. Mm. So I do feel you'd be a bit silly to get rid of players that are playing on game week 29 because they're few and far between. So I think Watkins' days are numbered in my team, but hoping he can maybe sneak a goal in what I expect to be a tight affair against Wolves.
Aye.
I'm the same with Watkins.
I've got Bamford, Watkins and Calvert-Lewin, but I want to bring Antonio back in. At the same time, I don't want to get rid of Calvert-Lewin when I've just brought him in. It's tough.
I do think Antonio's a shout.
Pardon?
I do think Antonio... Sorry.
No, I know. I was just asking what you were saying.
I think Antonio's a really good shout. I do think he'll bully that Leeds defence.
Mm-hmm.
I think for maybe an obscure one, and I genuinely can't remember if he's a midfielder or an attacker, but now he's back, Diogo Jota, I think he'll come right back into that.
He's midfield, I think.
Some form. Right, I've missed the boat in the locked in 11 position-wise, but I'll go back and I'll say I think he's definitely a good shout to pick up at some point, because I think he probably has been Liverpool's second best attacker this season, even though he's been out for about 2 months now.
Yeah.
Very, very cheap too, if I remember rightly.
$6 million-ish?
For a Liverpool player, that's cheap.
That is very cheap.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. Especially now when they're going to have easier games coming up. They've had quite a tough run, so I think I'd maybe look to Diogo Jota if anybody's looking for a transfer and they don't quite know who to bring in.
I like it.
I suppose that's the thing though, you don't really know when he's going to come back.
Yeah, it's coming back and with an extended run in the team as well.
Yeah, I do think it's a really good shout and I will be looking to bring him in. I think you need to sort of try and figure out when is the right time, because is it going to be this weekend? Probably not for me, but maybe the following one.
But is it going to be worth it at all, because we are running out of Premier League game weeks? We've got like, what, 10 left after this?
Uh-huh, true.
So there's not a lot of football left to be played. But it's still going to feel like there's a lot of football going on because it's constant at the moment. So whether we kind of risk bringing someone back in that's just come back from injury for the back end of the season, or whether we rely on the players that have kind of got their teams to this point so far, it's an interesting kind of final hurdle that we're going to have to overcome in the next few weeks. But we're looking forward to it none the same. And that is going to bring... I've dropped my pen. And that is going to bring this episode of the Fantasy Ramble to an end. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the Ramble wherever you get your podcasts to make sure new episodes show up automatically on your feed. And follow us over on Twitter at Fantasy Ramble, where we've dropped the ball with predictions the past month, but we're going to try and get them out a bit more regularly because I just can't be bothered putting them out after games have kicked off. Just doesn't make much sense, but we'll do our best. Thank you very much to Struan and Jamie for joining me today. It's been good speaking to you as always. Make sure to check out the Football Roundup on Monday, extra time next Thursday, before we return on Friday as usual. And make sure to check out the Energy Sport podcast feed this Sunday for our March edition of the monthly quiz, hosted by Mr. Sean McGill and won by someone you will need to tune in to find out. Until we see you next, my name is Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.